Let me get going, and I don't think I want to share my screen yet, but and I don't want to do another big review because we did that last week, so we're just going to press forward. I guess I could have put the scripture up there, but anyway, let's take a look at what I think we'll do is we'll go through 2 Samuel chapter 24, and then we'll come back to 1 Chronicles. I have a couple of notes, and I believe I have some notes that I probably could put on the screen if you guys want to see that. Let me see if I can. Oh, it'd be nice if I looked over here at my computer instead and see if I can find something on the screen there. And I think we left off at verse 14. Just some quick notes. For review from last time, and I'm putting some of the stuff on the screen here. Oh, well, the scripture's there, so we can go through the scripture. And I think the only review that I want to make on this is verse 14. I think the only review I want to make here is from our conversation last time. Don't let the events of today that is happening around us knock you out of right standing with God. Pastor friend of mine, last night I was in a service and he made mention of Saul before he turned into Paul. And Saul was a very zealous believer. He was a Pharisee. He's very religious. And my friend pointed out that it's interesting to note that the Pharisees and the religious folk of the day did not have a problem with what Saul was doing because it supported their purposes, their cause. And we know, especially, and I wrote down some scriptures. You ever want to look at Acts chapter 26, verse 4 through 18, where Paul describes himself as being a Pharisee and very religious and very zealous. But at the same time, he describes that Christ came and met him on the road to Damascus and said, you're working against me, or you're kicking against the pricks or the leading of Christ. So if Saul, being so religious and so devout, could miss the mark and be working against Christ, we have to be very careful that as mature believers as we are, and as long as we've been doing this Christian thing, that we don't get wrapped up around events and politics and maybe even religion, that we put ourselves in peril where we're actually working against the kingdom because of all the things that we see happen. I don't think I want to be 100% whatever party. I don't want to be 100% whatever I am. I don't want to be 100% of my culture, because then I cannot be 100% God. Something has to give, and I'd rather it be the things of the world than the things of God. So that's the caution. Don't want to go any further into that. We've already spent a couple days on that. Let's move forward. And so if you're with me in 2 Samuel chapter 14, we did that. David says, man, I'm in trouble. And we talked about this last week. Could all of this have been avoided? The answer was yes. How could it have been avoided? Just move in the spirit and ask God before you do something, rather than just leaning on your own understanding. And the other part of that is make sure that you are motivated by the spirit and not the flesh, meaning your emotions and your thoughts and your logic. Make sure that you check in with God before you check out. All that said, let's go straight to the scripture here. Oh, I like this. He says, in verse 14, I'm in trouble. I'm really kind of screwed here. So let me now fall in the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and not let me fall into the hand of man. Is that still applicable today?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to trust in man. I don't want to trust in, I heard somebody say, you know what? If it's all messed up, God either is going to fix it or the rapture is going to come. Either way, we win.
Yeah.
All right. So, there's a price to pay for sin. I do a little thing here with the feast thing, but I want to go into, I'm going to skip that for now. I'll leave it up there if you guys want to see it, but let me go into verse 15. I shot too far. 15. So, the Lord sent a pestilence. Somebody say COVID.
A plague.
So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning even to the appointed time. What's the note there? There is an appointed time for your troubles. That ought to get an amen and a praise.
Amen.
Now that means that whatever you're going through, it wasn't designed to last.
Yep, yep.
All right, praise God. All right.
This lasts 3 days, though.
Davey? Davey!
I missed you.
Yeah, all right. So, Al, will you repeat that again?
This plague lasted 3 days.
All right. You want to respond to that, Davey?
Good job, Al.
Oh, Jesus.
Good job,
Dave. You ain't off the hook, Dave. We're going to try this one more time. All right, so, all right. So, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Now, earlier in this lesson, they said how many men Joab brought back. I can't remember now. I think it was like 800,000, something like that. Yeah, 800,000. All right, good. 800,000. All right. Yeah, so we're talking about... 1.3 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. When David got that number, he must have felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look what I got in my bank account. Look what I got. Look at that. This is really great. But because of his sin, 70,000 people died. Now that doesn't sound like a whole lot. In fact, nah, that's not a whole lot. Oh, no. 70,000 is not a lot of people. That's only 5% of the population that was counted.
That's a lot.
Well, it's not percentage-wise. It's not as many as have died with COVID.
Percentage-wise,
well,
COVID ain't a lot either.
Oh, wait. So when you hear people say, it's COVID and it really ain't, I know you're sensitive because you got a whole family that's going through this. But when we hear people say, oh, well, you know,
no,
it ain't that much.
I'm sensitive about COVID, but you consider the amount of people that died with flu is way more than COVID.
That's true. But I like the fact that 70,000 of you guys feels like an unacceptable
number.
Yeah.
Death is death.
Yeah. You guys might have some things there I put in here. I think there's a real life application, but the bottom line is sometimes when we sin, there's an immediate gratification and benefit. Oh, you wouldn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always
consequences.
A price to pay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, whether it takes 3 years or 3 days,
mm-hmm.
you'll figure out
it wasn't worth it.
that it wasn't worth it. You're going to wind up paying a price that you could have avoided. I'm not going to talk to Jalen because he ain't been on the earth long enough. But I bet there's a few of us here that will say it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't worth it.
That's
All right. So let's go a little further.
Because forever long it takes, you're separated from God for that little bit.
When you begin to... Deb, you're on it today. When you begin to see things from a spiritual perspective, you will really see quicker that, man, this was not worth it when we look at it in our relationship spiritually to the Lord. The things that I gain on earth, if they're not geared to pleasing God, they'll take me further away from where I want to be spiritually. All right. Verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented. That means he changed his mind. He repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough. Now stay thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. He's not a Hebrew. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Is there anything we can be happy about verse 16?
The Lord stepped in.
The Lord stepped in. The Lord allowed it, but he stepped in. They still lost 70,000 people. Could get mad and upset. Tracy, can you say that one more time?
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
I'm still believing God's going to step into all this mess.
He's supposed to. Yeah. I'm trusting in him, too. Okay, all right. It could have been worse.
It could be worse.
All right. And David, verse 17, spake unto the Lord when he saw that the angel smote the people. And he said, "Lo, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." Mm. Now, David is doing what here? He's taking responsibility. He's seeking mercy. Taking on a sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. Repeat what you said, Matt.
Matt didn't say anything. He was rubbing his hair.
the application I get from this is the grace of God, because he stopped that.
Yes. Now, if you focus on the 70,000 that have died, and you only focus on that, is that good?
No.
Why? I didn't say you didn't acknowledge it. I didn't say you don't feel bad about it. God forbid. Mm-hmm. It's thousands of years later. I feel bad for the 70,000 that died.
Because it takes your focus off the Lord.
Because when you focus on what you lost,
you don't realize what you have.
You don't appreciate what you got.
What you still have.
What you still have. Thank you very much. You don't appreciate what you still have. All right.
And you know what God's going to continue to do.
And you'll miss what God's continuing to do. And you'll miss his mercy. I was growing up one day and I wanted something for Christmas. And I didn't get G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. Mm-hmm. But I got something else. Mm-hmm. I was mad and upset because I didn't know no better about not getting G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. I was so mad about not getting G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip, I didn't appreciate all the other stuff that I had. Grace and mercy, because we didn't have a whole lot of money. So when we focus on how bad things are, we'll miss how we see his mercy. Are things kind of bad in the land?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, I'm just looking outside this window right now, and I'm like, you know what? Whoo!
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. The sun's coming through. It's kind of a nice temperate day out there. The leaves are changing. There's a glow. It looks like it's golden out there. And whenever I look at nature like that, I know that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still the artist.
And if I, absolutely, and when I focus too much on the bad stuff, I'll miss what God is really trying to do and what he's doing already. All right? So, the other thing that David is doing here that I see, of course, you know, we're big on the feast. Do I see David taking some steps here? Do we see the feast steps in play in verse 17?
Yes.
Yes. So is David humble?
Yes.
Does he need the Lord?
Yes.
Has he repented again?
Yes.
Is he still trusting in the Lord?
Yes.
Didn't he do that in an earlier verse?
Yes, 14.
He did it in verse 14. In verse 14, he says, and David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us not fall. Let us not. Oh, wait a minute. Even before that. Verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant. Oh, won't God take away the iniquity?
Yes.
Won't he take away the stain? For I have done foolishly. So he's almost saying the same things in verse 17 that he's saying in verse 10. Why is he doing this again, and what is the difference? This is important for us to know what he's doing here.
Well, to me in 10, he realized one sin. He counted the people.
Got it.
That was a sin.
Got it.
And then in 14, he realized the cost, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be a cost. I hear you. What he's praying about in verse 10, the mistake, the error, the sin,
uh-huh.
Is it the same sin that he's praying about again in verse 17?
Yeah, I think so.
Same sin. Same
thing. So he's asking for God to have mercy on him.
Bam! That's it! Mercy on who?
On David.
People.
The people.
The people.
Amen.
Yeah.
It said, let us.
Yeah,
he said so himself and the people,
yeah, the people
let us.
To do with it, you know.
Were the people involved in his repentance in verse 10?
No.
Oh, no.
Don't miss this.
Uh-uh.
It was just himself. Is there anything wrong in that?
Yeah.
No, he's the one that ordered the count. He himself ordered the count.
Oh, y'all will get it when I'm in the parking lot. All right.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
God, David knew how merciful God is. You know, because he knew that God's mercies never cease. In regards to what he did, he knew that within his heart.
Ain't that good? It's good to know.
Yeah. But see, Gad tried to correct David, told David he shouldn't do it that way, but David went and done it anyway.
Oh, Joab, yep.
So...
Don't,
and they all kind of sinned.
Don't miss...
Into it.
Don't miss the steps. There's a lot of feast stuff in here. Don't miss it. When he was in 10 and repenting, all right, what steps did he get to if we look at this from a feast perspective? Was he humble?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Heart smote. Did he repent?
Yes.
Yes. He said, hey, I want the people numbered. I don't want to do that no more. All right. Mm-hmm. Was he seeking God for hope?
Yes.
Yes. So he's sitting around level 3, maybe a little soft 4. Is that where he's at?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it. All right. Now, where is he in 17?
Mercy.
What step is mercy?
Five.
At 10, He was only at level three.
Three.
You got it? But now, he has, good gracious, in the midst of his trials and temptations, David has moved to another level. His trials and his sin and coming out of that sin has moved him closer to God and higher in the scale than ever before. It was necessary for him. He didn't do anything wrong in verse 10. It better be a lesson for us. He did 10 because 10 was designed, and you said it, Anita, 10 was designed for just himself. Is that selfish? Nah. You might think that's selfish. Well, he's only thinking about himself. No. David knows that before he can do, I hope somebody's getting this down. You got to get yourself right with God before you can do anything for anybody else. If he tried to intercede for the people before he got himself together,
it don't work.
It might work in the natural, it might work logically, but in the spiritual sense, when you put your spiritual eye on this, that's all jacked up. Nothing good's going to come out of that. So he is following the steps, and he goes, hey, boom, I got to get myself right with God before I can get myself right with the people, before I can do anything, before I can lead the land, before I can do anything with the people, before I can intercede for anybody. But why is that so important for us today? Before you pray for
anyone,
before you pray for Bay and Leona and Audrey and Mia and the Etsy family and darn sure before you pray for Mandy, you better make sure that you are in right standing with
God. So when you pray for me, make sure you're in right standing with God.
Al, I always got to make sure I'm on the map when I'm dealing with you.
Thought your prayers just going to hit the ceiling.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Go nowhere.
Ain't going to go nowhere.
And man, with all the things that we got on the prayer request, with all the things that we're dealing with in our nation, you know we need to spend some time with God to make sure that our mind's not polluted, that we don't have any prejudice, that we don't have any issues, that we don't, that our hearts are not right, that we're not overly zealous, that we're not playing Saul on somebody, that we just need to make sure that we are connected and that we are repentant and that we're changing our minds and that our hope is in God and that we're in the right standing with God. And then we can get to verse 17. Now, so he repeats this thing, this process, to make sure he's still on the map, but that he's moving forward. So he hits 1, 2, and 3. Where is 4?
14.
3.
Where's the Holy Spirit? What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit, did they get revelation? Did they see God's power on Mount Sinai on the day of Pentecost?
Yes.
Yes. Look at verse 16.
When the angels stepped out of his
hand, excuse me.
Look at 17 now. The Lord spake unto the Lord. When did he speak unto the Lord? When did he start to give mercy to the people? When was his concern for the people more than himself? Look at the verse.
Verse 17.
Right down the screen.
Mm-hmm. When the flood came, he saw what people were going through.
When he saw the angel. From who? From the Lord. When his eye, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? It opens our eyes. We know our hope is in Christ, but it gives us a level of knowledge and revelation. When the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we'll see God in the mist. So David spoke unto the Lord when he saw that the angel smote the people, level 4. And now he logically and spiritually, following the plan of God, moves to level 5, which is mercy. He said, lo, I have sinned. Now it is no longer about him. That's why you got to go through the steps to make sure you're straight with God. Because now it is no longer about us. It is about man. You know, everybody giving their little donations or whatever for this child or whatever. You know what? Deb prayed about this. Heart in the right place. If we go and give money to this child and we don't pray over the gifts and then we're not, we'll feel good in the natural, but we'll miss it in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a whole lot of money to waste, so whatever I'm giving, God's got to get some glory out of this.
Amen.
So that's where he is. As bad as things are, is David in a better situation than when it was before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spiritually.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Spiritually. Man, he's going through, but he's in better shape with God in his relationship than ever before. Now he's interceding for the people. When you follow the steps of God, when you get in this process, what can you guarantee will happen?
There's victory.
Victory's on the way, but before the victory. Look at the verse 18. And Gad came that day. What day? That day.
That day when David saw the Lord.
When David saw the Lord, and Gad came to David that day. When David hit level 5, when David made it to a next level, Gad came to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunai, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded, which means he obeyed. Application on for where he was right then. When did he get that word from Gad on instructions on what to do?
That day.
After he showed mercy. After he saw the Lord, level 4, and mercy, level 5, then he got instructions. As you move up the level of maturity in your relationship with God, what will God guarantee you to get at each level? More instruction, more revelation. Why does God give us more revelation? Because now we've moved up so we can get further instruction, and that gives us something else so we can continually obey. So David is going to obey. Now, when we get to the threshing floor, and that whole idea of, anybody know what a threshing floor is? Anybody got any country folk here? What's a country folk? Yeah! That's a threshing floor is a place of separation. Mm-hmm. All right, the threshing floor. Let me make sure.
Is that
like
in the chaff?
Where you separate the chaff from the wheat,
mm-hmm. the grain. Yep. All right, so it's a place of separation. Where does it fall in end time prophecy? Because now you're talking sheep and goats
Lord
type of stuff.
Separation believers from the non-believers. And later on, he judges the non-believers.
So what level in our feast study do we think that's at? That is 6. Mm-hmm. Do you see the progression in the steps here? Mm-hmm. So now that he's done the mercy thing, God gives him instructions. And this is how you're going to get victory in this tough time. This is where you can get past the judgment. This is where you can get to the mercy. This is where the separation comes in. This is where I'm going to separate you and bring you in. Let me just keep going. All mm-hmm. right? Good job, Roger. All right. So just ready to go up. I got some notes here. Let me see if I missed anything in my notes. Arunah means I shall shout for joy. Stops the threshing floor. I like my Matthew Henry commentary that says, mercy rejoices against judgment. Ain't that sweet? Mm-hmm. Mercy rejoices against judgment. And you guys have already, and Tracy already mentioned this, it was going to be worse before God decides to step in again. That is his mercy. Was it supposed to be worse? Yes.
It's
supposed to be worse. Why do you think the angels showed up in Jerusalem to kill some more people in the first place? Was that part of the plan?
Yep.
Yeah, that's part of the plan. That's part of the plan. Yeah, that's part of the plan. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan. But God steps in, and here's the neat thing. I think I got it in my notes. I don't know. I don't feel like looking for it right now. But application for today. It might have supposed to happen this way. But if we do what David did, then maybe what was supposed to happen doesn't happen. Because our response and obedience to God can turn some things around. You think he's still looking for that today?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Obedience.
We don't get it. No, we don't get it.
We just don't get it.
We don't get it. Why don't we get it? Because our spiritual eye is blind. Just stay on the map and follow the steps. I believe that we can get past the pandemic sooner. I believe that we can get through some things sooner. I think we can get some relief sooner. If we just do, see, I'm so crazy. I think that if I do what David did, it might have an impact and might get the same results that he got. Just follow the plan. Follow the steps. All right, let's keep going because we're running out of time. All right. I got a bunch of notes here about David seeing the angel. All right. Oh, and here's the on 18, the threshing floor, the whole threshing floor idea. Just like Roger said, it's a place where you get crushed and broken. You mean I've already been crushed and broken once? You mean part of my Christian walk and God's plans that I get crushed and broken again?
All throughout your walk, I believe.
Pardon me?
I believe all throughout your Christian walk that there's at times of crushing, God's crushing you.
But we can handle it.
Yeah,
and we'll be better as a result of it?
Yeah, we're going to grow.
Okay.
You got to break it down.
All right. Hey, yeah. All right. Let's take a look.
Chuck, wait a minute. You said crushing and broken. The threshing floor is not grinding. It's not crushing and breaking. It's strictly separation by...
Well, it's separation that I got where corn is crushed and broken where it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's milling. Listen, I'm not trying to be...
No,
what I'm saying is, they take it and they throw it in the air, and the chaff, which is lighter and doesn't have any fruit to it, is blown away.
You can't go wrong with the idea of separation. Because I think what they would do in the old days, like exactly what Roger said, they get a pitchfork and they throw it up in the air, and the grain, which is heavier, will fall to the threshing floor, and the chaff would blow into the wind. Woo, I don't want to be blown into the wind. All right. So, whether it's crushed or not, it's the idea of there's a separation there. And what gets gathered in? The grain. So, it's a place of judgment.
Yeah, crushing to me would be more like changing from one
wheat
to
flour.
Another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
okay.
Still good. I mean, we all have to change to a different... Mm-hmm. Anyway, I
didn't know. No, it's good. But there's a change there, all right? And there's that separation. So God has to, oh my goodness. God has to separate us from some things because he can't accept everything that we're bringing to this altar. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a separation there.
That's true.
All right?
Don't some have to die before it separates?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know what he said in the parables? He said, hey, we got tares in our wheat. He said, hey, let them grow up together. We'll deal with it at the threshing floor. Mm-hmm. There'll be burning and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, I don't want to get this far and get to the threshing floor and not make it. Okay. Let's look at verse. Okay, it's 10:30. Man, okay. So next week we will do a review and we'll get into the next chapter. All right, so Dave is looking at me like, yeah, I knew he wasn't going to make it. All right, so here we go. All right. So, David, you know whose fault this was, right?
Got to be Al.
There you go.
Al.
Oh, there you go.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
You what? Thank you, my brother. Verse 12.
That's all right.
Verse Verse 20. And Aaron now looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Aaron now went out and bowed himself before the king on his face on the ground. And Aaron now said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. How is the plague going to be? How can David have an impact on a plague that was brought on by the Lord or allowed by the Lord? How does David have an impact on that? Just by being obedient and following the steps. Mm-hmm. David gets here and he sees that he has a role to play. Just get to level 6 and do what God tells you to do. All right? Verse 22. And Aaron now said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these did Aaron now as a king give unto the king. And Aaron now said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Aaron, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Okay. All right. Al, if you would go to Romans 10, turn there. Appreciate it. What do we see happening here? Who is Aaron now? Is he a Jew?
Yes.
He is a Jebusite. They drove the Jebusites out of Jerusalem. He is not homegrown kinfolk.
He's an alien.
Alien, adopted, and kind of proselyte, whatever. He's not one of the 12 Hebrew tribes.
He's a Gentile.
But he says, my lord, the king.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
So that's kind of like Gentiles, like us being Gentiles.
Yes.
He understands.
Al, if you would read Romans 10, verse 16 through 21, please.
I didn't have to do one this time.
If I didn't, I gave you the verses, so you don't have to do one this time. Boy.
That's what he said.
16. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message?
Have the people of Israel actually heard the message?
Yes.
Yes, they have.
Oh, does it say that in the scripture?
No, it doesn't say that over here.
It said, yes, they have.
No, over here.
In the scriptures, it says?
You're talking about in Samuel, right?
I'm talking about in Romans chapter 10.
The message has gone through the earth and the words of all the world.
So let me try this with my Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. But they say, have not all obeyed the gospel? For Elias says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. He's talking about the Jews. Did they hear the word? Yes, they did. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Yeah, they knew. First Moses said, and I shall provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Who is that? Who's the foolish nation that's going to make the Jews mad? It's the Gentiles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they provoke the name.
Why are the Jews going to be angry at the Gentiles?
Because they're going to
get mad because they're realizing, man, these guys got our Savior and we're missing the boat. And it was designed for us first. That's like this white guy that I knew one day. And we were talking about Black History Month. And he was reading off all these great Black people and Black history and stuff like that, and running off all these names or whatever, and it's a white guy. And he knew more about Black history than I did. And I went, and instead of saying, oh my God, what a wonderful guy, he knows more about Black history than I did. What did I do, Al?
You got mad.
I got mad. Why did I get mad?
Says I will make you jealous by that.
Jealous.
Not a black man.
All right. But Elias is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who's he talking about? Gentiles. But to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hand into a disobedient and gainsaying people, but the Gentiles are in. I'm going to end this, but when I'm looking at this Old Testament scripture, I'm seeing New Testament revelation. There's nothing new under the sun. And Aaron, don't miss it. This is not just about the Jews. Because Aaron now is in here, and God puts him in the story. Because he could have told him, Roger, I bet there was more than one threshing floor around Jerusalem at the time.
Yep. Oh,
of course.
But God chose that one to let us know that we're all in this. Don't miss it. God has something promised for you. Don't miss it, because somebody else will get it and get your blessing. All right. And David obeyed. I don't have anything else there. And we're running out of time. All right. So we stop at. Oh, is that the last verse?
Last verse.
Okay. Oh, praise God. All right. So we finished it. All right. So next week, we will go back through this one more time. And we will do the comparison so we can see the spiritual analysis. Maybe it will show us how to operate in this COVID environment. Because we're going to go back and we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, because there's some things in 1 Chronicles from the spiritual end that's missing from the historical story here in 2 Samuel. And so we'll finish that up. And then we will do one more chapter in Chronicles. We'll close out the life of David, and then we'll start working on something new and different. Somebody say amen to
amen.
New and different. All right. Okay.
We kind of rushed through
2 Samuel. You think we were through? All right. God bless you guys. All right, let's get ready to pray. Let's get ready.